Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, when
good evening, and welcome to another episode of Atlanta Lights Radio. There is life after layoff. Sit back, enjoy, and join Allie, our show host, and Doc, the co-host, as Allie shares her experience as after experiencing a layoff. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or web talk radio agents shall be held liable for the content of program, including any advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who has been given the opportunity to consider each listener's circumstance and not relying upon the content of this web talk radio program. Now, join me in a virtual applause as I bring on air Allie, Ward, and Doc. Allie?
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward, the founder of Elise Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders, it is always our pleasure to be your guide as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after recently being laid off. And as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions, please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you wish to contact us directly, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And I'm still tweeting, guys, so you can follow me at AllieWard45. And on behalf of Doc and myself, we sincerely thank you for listening and joining us once again as we share with you our insights into the experience of being laid off. Good evening, Doc. Thanks for being here, as always, tonight. And, you know, I'm still so full from our experience with Dr. Vivian last week. And you know what? It helped to open up the door for tonight's topic about selfishness and also about sacrifice. I especially think that after I started preparing for tonight's show that a lot of people really do struggle with selfishness in their lives. What are your thoughts?
Yes, Allie, first I agree. I am still full and glowing from our interview with Dr. Vivian, and I also agree, as you stated, a lot of people do struggle with this. And once again, we have another excited topic, and we will get more into the topic of selfishness and also altruism, which is the opposite of selfishness tonight. So I am anxious to get started.
All right. Thank you, Doc, for your comments. And once again, welcome and thank you for being with me tonight. You know what, Doc? This was, as I started to prepare for tonight's show, this was really a tough area for me to deal with. Because, you know, I had finally come to the realization, and this is a tough pill to swallow, that being selfish was a huge problem in my life. So, yes, tonight's conversation will be interesting, but as always, before we move forward into tonight's show, I must remind those people who may be listening for the first time or who may be calling in for the first time that we are here to use this forum as a way to uplift, as a way to empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff. We are not here to complain. We are not here to ridicule or point fingers at our former employers or colleagues or any individuals, and we are definitely not here to feel sorry for ourselves. We are here so I can share with you my journey of rediscovery and empowerment, but most of all, we are here to serve you, the community, and to give you a voice and an opportunity to share your story so that you know that you're not alone and that we can get through this together. So now, as we proceed into tonight's show, first I'd like to remind those of you who have been listening up till this point, still have the Atlanta Life Radio Virtual Book Club going on. It's not too late to join. You can do so through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. Click on Book Club in the top of the page and fill out the little brief information that it requests from you. So that we can contact you as we move forward and work towards our March 26th show, which will be the on-air discussion of our book, which we're reading, which is entitled The Shack, and it is written by William P. Young. It is a wonderful book. It will bless you. It will have you looking at your relationship with God, a whole nother aspect and on a whole nother level. And for those of you who may think it's too late to still read the book, there is an audio version of the book, so if you prefer to books, you can do so. So as I said, mark your calendars for March 26th because that is going to be the day that we are actually on air discussing our book, The Shack by William P. Young. And also I'd like to remind those listeners who may have missed our February 26th fireside chat with living legend Dr. C.T. Vivian, you can do so. You can still listen to that recorded podcast through the Atlanta Life Radio website. That experience, Doc, and I know we just talked about it, but that was just the most wonderful experience, sitting with him, being able to just partake in his knowledge of him and all of his experiences over the years. And he was so willing to share that information with us, and I wish we had more time to share with him, and I hope we will be able to do that in the future. Now, right. And moving into tonight's subject matter, and in keeping with the spirit of Dr. Vivian, and all throughout the month of February, we celebrated Black History Month, as you recall. Now, each week, I share with you and our listeners a brief snapshot of history and about the people and also about pivotal moments that helped to change the course of African American history, but also the history of this country. Well, as I reflect back over several of those moments that I shared with you over the past month, it really helped to open my eyes to see the selfless acts of such people that I talked to Harriet Tubman, I talked about Rosa Parks, I talked about Martin Luther King Jr., and of course our beloved Dr. C.T. Vivian. It opened my eyes to look at their willingness to make sacrifices not only throughout history but also throughout the civil rights movement and just our fighting for freedom and for and to be able to gain equal rights in this country. Not only were these great people willing to sacrifice their freedom, but in some cases they were willing to sacrifice their lives for the greater good in service to others. An example of that is our own Dr. Vivian, who participated in the Freedom Rides during 1961. And I mentioned in one of the other shows that they were oftentimes met with violence and brutality, and I'm talking people trying to actually kill them. So he still made those sacrifices for the greater good. Those are what we're talking about when we say the selfless act. Now, as we venture into tonight's topic, and when I really started to give this some really, really deep thought, I saw over the years how my own selfishness has gotten in the way of my being able to live the life that God has wanted me to live. Now, I had to think about that and say, okay, well, where did this selfishness start? And I figured it out by looking at my own small children, okay?
Mm.
If you look at it, we are by nature born selfish, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who have children, they can really relate to this, in the fact that, you know, children want what they want when they want it. Now, my four-year-old has no concept of wait a minute or when I, you know, get a chance or when I get the opportunity. He just knows that he wants it when he wants it, how he wants it. And he tests the limits all the time. But I know that as he gets older and his understanding level increases, my husband and I will continue as he gets older to work on teaching him self-control. Now, I need to put a footnote here because as parents, I really think it's so important that we as parents take the time and have this responsibility to teach our children self-control while they are young, because I feel that by teaching them young, but to teach them to have self-control, as they get older, they'll be able to make appropriate decisions and respond during stressful situations in ways that will help to produce positive results. So I think that's really key that I have for those parents who may be listening right now. So as we move forward, though, and before we actually get into the meat and potatoes of this conversation, I wanted to define what selfish means so everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about and that we're on the same page. Now, I looked the word selfish up in the dictionary, and the dictionary that I used was the Webster's New World Dictionary. And it defines, and I quote, it defines selfishness or selfish as being overly concerned with one's own interests. Now, that's pretty self-explanatory in itself, right? So at this point in my soul searching, I then had to ask myself this question, and I asked myself a number of key questions as I was preparing tonight. I asked myself this question: how much time do I spend being more concerned with what's best for me rather than on how I can be of service or a blessing to others? Okay. Now, the answer to that question for me was a bitter pill to swallow and at the same time also a rude awakening for me. Because it made me start to realize that for the most part of my life that I have been selfish, okay? Now, if I'm honest with myself about myself, God has shown me that being selfish has been one of my biggest character flaws.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, like I said, that was a big, bitter pill to swallow, but I swallowed it nonetheless. Once I was ready to finally admit that, I also had to take a survey of what turmoil my selfishness was causing in my own life. Now, mind you, I'm causing this on myself, okay?
Mm.
Now, one of the biggest areas that was being affected in a negative way through my selfishness was the area of my family relationships and especially within my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, right now, at this point, I know a lot of people are probably thinking, okay, well, it takes two to make a marriage work. Now, that may be true on some levels, but if we have any listeners from any previous shows, you might remember that in a past show I shared that I had finally come to the realization that God is going to hold me responsible for how I choose to respond in a particular situation and not before what others may do to me. So the one thing that we can be selfish about is the fact that, and one thing that's not going to ever be taken away from us is our ability to be able to control how we choose to respond to one another and in situations, okay? So once I finally got this through my thick head, I had to really learn and work on not pointing fingers and at what I felt others may have been or may not have been doing and really take responsibility for myself. So in other words, I had to learn how to stay in my lane and sweep in front of my own door and stop worrying about what other people were doing or may not have been doing. So here's another question. Was I expecting something that I wasn't giving? Or if I was giving it, was it because of self-serving reasons? Okay, yes, my toes are stepped on right there. Ouch, okay. So when I applied this question to what was wrong in my marriage and other family relationships, I had to take a good long look at how I was loving the people that meant the most to me. Okay, so, you know, how could I expect my husband to love me the way I expected to be loved, but then be unwilling to give him the love that he expected and needed? These are all very tough questions, but you know what? They're ones that are necessary. So after giving this same hard, long thought, and then after I really started studying what selfishness was and how it's rooted in our lives, what I have come to know is this, and people, you may want to write this down because this hit me over the head like a ton of bricks, what I'm getting ready to say. As people, and especially in marriage, one of the greatest mistakes that we have the tendency to make is that we give love the way we receive love instead of giving love the way that other person needs it. I'm going to say that again. As people, and especially in marriage, one of the greatest mistakes that we have the tendency to make is that we give love the way we receive love instead of giving love the way that the other person needs it. That's some food for thought for you right there. And I'm guilty as charged. You know, I'm going to take responsibility for that. With that said, I have learned and I have come to the realization, though, that after doing the soul searching and studying the root of selfishness within those relationships, and especially in my marriage, I realized that being married is really a wonderful opportunity for me to do something about my selfishness. Okay? Now, going one step further, and after really taking a look at the personal relationships that were being negatively affected through my own selfishness, a thought suddenly occurred to me. If my earthly relationships are in a mess, then what shape is my relationship with God in? Wow. Will I stand before him and be a stranger in his presence is my question, you know, that I had to ask myself. And am I spending so much time being more concerned about my own agenda and schedule that my relationship was with God was existing on my own terms? With all of that, I had to actual nerve to wonder why things on my job and maybe in my home and in my marriage were in a mess. Okay, these are some hard questions that I had to ask myself and face. Now, in learning this about myself, I also realized that, you know, God is never going to force us into a relationship with him. So if I wanted anything to change, I was going to have to take the necessary steps on improving my relationship with him. And also with the people in my family, in my life, in my marriage, I had to take that first step. You know, I could work on me, okay? Now, I saw that the root of my frustration and my lack of peace and my lack of joy stemmed from the fact that, if you really look at it, the only person that I was trying to serve in all of these relationships was me, okay? So it was at this point that I made the conscious decision to fully surrender my will to God, and I started diligently praying for God's will to be done in my life. I also made a conscious decision to start seeking and applying his peace, the peace that he's already given us, in my life. I had to learn how to take the focus off of myself and start putting the focus on God and being in him being first in my life and also on how I can better serve others in my life, starting with my family. Now, by no means, when I say all of this, does that mean that you do not take care of yourself. But just know this, there has to be some kind of a balance. So my focus then at this point was to make a daily commitment to wake up each day without thinking about myself and myself only, but to keep my mind still and my ears tuned in long enough to hear from God and what he wanted me to do that day. Mm-hmm. Now, as I relate all of this to the workplace, prior to being laid off, there was a point where I was so frustrated and I was so tired of all the negativity and being stressed out from day to day. And you may have heard me mention in a previous show that, you know, I was bringing that frustration home with me, and it was affecting my relationship with my family. So something had to give. I had to make a change. And how was I going to deal with all of this? So what I started learning how to do was I knew that I had to learn how to operate in the spirit of God and in the spirit of excellence, because I knew that I represented him. So at that point, I realized, okay, I don't work for corporate America. I work for God in the spirit of excellence. And I knew that by performing my job to the best of my ability, and because of the nature of my job, the outcome would reflect in a positive experience for others. So in doing this, I really had to work hard on trying to steer clear of all the negativity and the negative-minded people within the workplace. Now, this is hard to do, because when you work in an environment where you, and we discussed this in our show on fears, where you feel fearful that you're going to be affected by a layoff or that your job is in jeopardy, it's really tough to stay motivated. Wow. But I had to be willing to push past that fear, and I knew that through my obedience and my willingness to surrender my will to God each day, that he would take care of me, and he has. He immediately gave me a peace when I was laid off. And like I said, this can be extremely tough to do in the workplace, but it's not impossible if you are determined to live on purpose and in service to God and others. It is something that we have to continue to work on every day. It is a journey. And I know that God has been working on me over the years to prepare me for this journey that I'm on now with There Is Life After Layoff. But now, at this point, before we go further in tonight's program, there is something that I want to share with you, Doc, that I know that you will so appreciate. It is something that I wanted to share about that my daughter told me. Now, it was so profound that I felt like it was worth mentioning, and I wanted to share it tonight. She was preparing for a history test, and somehow we got, and I was testing her, and somehow we got on the subject of journeys. And she said to me, "Mommy, do you know that God uses journeys to teach us something about ourselves?"
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then she referenced the use. Yes. Isn't that great? Then she referenced the use of the number 40 as it related to the Israelites' journey from Egypt to Canaan, which should have taken only a few days, but ended up lasting 40 years. As a result of their disobedience and lack of faith. Isn't that wonderful? She blessed me with that. So when I started really thinking about that, I said, I didn't feel so bad, because you know what? When you look at my age, I guess you could say that I'm right on schedule for finally getting it.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
So I don't feel so bad. So as we wind down to take our first station break, we encourage you to call us if you want to share your layoff experience or anything relating to tonight's topic or any topic from any of our other previous shows. Or if you just simply want to make a comment, you can reach us at 347-324-5246. Make sure when you call, if you want to be added to the on-air lineup, press the number 1 when prompted, and you will be placed in the host queue. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff with your Holly and Doc. Please stay tuned.
Your life is not through. God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining.
If you are just joining us, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio. There is life after layoff with our show host, Allie Ward, and co-host, Doc. If you have been recently laid off, or if you know of someone that has been laid off, please recommend our show. This is a show of refuge. It is safe. This is where we tell our listeners you are not alone, and we partake of our own journey and the wisdom that has been bestowed upon us. Again, if you want to talk to our show host, please call in at 347-324-5246, and please hit the #1 when prompted so you can be placed in the host queue. And now, we're returning back to our show.
We are back, and if you
yes.
are... Yes,
and Allie,
we are back.
Our caller board is lit up.
And, oh, wow.
Yes, and I know there are a couple of callers in on the board who did not hit one, but if they hit one, then I can put them in the host queue. But we do have two callers ready to come on air.
Okay. Thank you, Melinda. As Melinda said, we are back. If you're just joining us, welcome, and you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. I'm your host, Ali, and along with my co-host, Doc, we urge you to please join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., and you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com, and I'm also on Twitter at AliWard45, so please follow me. Now, Doc, before the break, I shared how I had to face my own selfishness in my life and what the result of being selfish had on my relationships. In your experience as a counselor and a minister, what other problem areas are rooted in selfishness?
Yes, Allie, thank you for asking that question. And before I get into that, I would like to say I really love the format of our show because it gives you and I the opportunity to have our confessions. So this is a time where this is our confessions. Because
right.
as a minister and a therapist, I serve people on a daily basis. That's my job every day. But I can distinctly remember when I was working on a message and I heard God saying that I didn't have a problem loving and serving people that were not closest to me. It was my family members and the people that were closest to me that I needed to begin working on. So my confession is to begin to be more selfless to the people that I love. With that being said, selfishness can be rooted in bitterness, or it could be a learned behavior, meaning that a person that has faced some type of trauma in their life may adopt the mentality that now it's going to be all about me. It could also stem from a person being an only child. If he or she was not expected to share, then therefore they didn't learn the importance of sacrifice or being selfless. It can also come from a place of defense. For example, a person may have given a lot in their relationship only not to have it reciprocated, and you kind of talked about that, or they may have faced some type of betrayal that caused them to develop the attitude to say, I'm no longer going to be the person to give to allow someone to get over on me. I'm going to be the taker and not the giver. And it can
come,
a person can become selfish when they have dealt with loss in their life. It could be from a layoff or it could be some type of material loss. And if they have lost a lot of treasured possessions, once they gain it back, they'll tend to hold on to it, and it could cause them to somehow, even subconsciously, become selfish because it didn't feel good to lose. So then they begin to develop this attitude again that I'm not going to lose this, so it's going to be hard for me to release or let go of something. And others may not have had a lot growing up, which caused them to exhibit the same type of behavior. Again, I didn't have a lot growing up, but as I got older, I started having more materialistic possessions, and I knew how it felt growing up not to have a lot, so it's going to cause me to hold on to it more. So there are many different reasons or root causes of selfishness.
Wow. That's good. That you brought up a lot of key points that I really didn't even think about. But you're absolutely right about that, and thank you for sharing that. Favorite time in the show. Hopefully we have some callers who have pressed 1 to be placed in the host queue. So if you like to share your story or just weigh in on this powerful conversation or just want to make a comment, please call us at 347-324-5246 and dial the number 1 when you're prompted to be added in a on-air lineup for tonight's callers. Okay, Melinda, are we ready to take our first caller?
Yes, we are. One second. And our first caller, you are live on air.
Yes, good evening, Doc and Allie. How are y'all tonight?
Hi.
Just wonderful. Thank you for joining the conversation. What's on your mind?
Well, this is an awesome topic, and thank you so much for sharing your testimony and how God is really working through you. My name is Stephen Haskett. And some of the things you shared tonight were, you know, concerning layoff, very profound. I think one of the things that brings us great peace concerning our corporate jobs is knowing who your source is, knowing that God is your source, and our job is our resource. And knowing that fact, that keeps you in peace, because if the resource goes away, then he has a plan for you, just like you have right now.
Right.
So that's
absolutely
a great thing. As far as the selfishness, some great testimonies, some great things that God is moving through your life. And even with the people on it, we learn in marriage, you know, the first thing is love. You know, just loving our spouse unconditionally, and I think when we can love ourselves unconditionally, we can love everybody else unconditionally.
That's good.
Exactly. Exactly. Doc, did you have any comments for our caller?
A couple. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Number one, as you stated, so many times, and we've talked about it in shows past, that we look to our job as our greatest resource, and it should be our higher power more than our job, because if that's taken away, and a lot of people, and again, we've stated this on other shows, a lot of people are defined by their job or their job title.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's taken away, and that's probably something we need to revisit at a point, because when it's taken away, so many people go into a depression or they feel lost. So you're exactly right when you stated that. And the next thing is love and unconditional love. And I think marriage and children definitely teaches us how to be more selfless, and especially with children, because as you stated, they come into this world, it's all about me, and they learn how to be selfish real quick, and they teach us
right.
how to be selfish, because as soon as they start crying, we're always running to them to give them whatever they need,
right.
if it's a bottle, or if they need to be changed, or if they just need to be held. So they teach us real quick how to be selfless. So thank you again for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a blessed night, and thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. Melinda, do we have any other callers on the line?
Yes, we do.
Wonderful.
Our second caller, you are now live on air.
Hello, Allie and Doc.
Hi. Hello. Welcome.
Hi. You should know this voice very well. I decided to call you and surprise you this evening.
Thank you.
How you doing? You good?
I'm blessed. Is this Dwayne?
This is Dwayne. Yes, it is.
Hey, we have a fan.
That's right. That's right. Not a stalker, but a fan. Not a stalker, but a fan. Hey, listen. And Doc, I guess I need to say a lot of this offline, but they have a lot of things to congratulate you. Things are going really, really good in your life, and I just wanted to say that this was my first time actually given an opportunity to say that to you. So I think you know those things that I'm talking about.
Thank you so much.
On tonight's topics, a couple of things. Y'all said so much that was actually really, really good. I think that when we talk about love, and if the caller called in before and said unconditional love, mm-hmm. one of the problems we have in marriage and relationships is most times we define unconditional love, and the problem is most times it's with conditions.
Mm.
I think that when we God gives us a very clear definition in 1 Corinthians 13, mm-hmm. starting with 13 around verse 4. But I think the problem is, and a lot of your callers may not really understand why you two allude to God so much. And for some, because some people, they don't have that presupposition that God is all. God is mm-hmm. known of in some people's life, but they don't know God the way you're saying it. So I really want to tell people out there that this new age thing of just making God what you want, first of all, it's not new. It was done a long time ago. And it failed a long time ago, and it's going to fail now. So I think that they need to take Allie and Doc's position. I mean, because when you start talking about it, Doc, people look at you and say, well, you've made it. You're successful. You're a doctor. You're a minister, blah, 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 blah. But I think the one thing that they fail to realize is that if they really, really talked to you or had an opportunity to get to know you, that your source would be God and that everything else is a way of falling into what he has for you. But I think a lot of times we miss that. So I just wanted to throw that out there real quick. Now, this thing about love is, again, most of us have been damaged because our parents probably were the first ones to damage us. And I'm mm-hmm. sorry to break a lot of people's heart on that, but they need to take the halo off mom and daddy, off of Auntie Bernice and Mudia, and realize that we love them because they are our members, but we cannot make them to be part of the untouchable. My mom and daddy did some jacked up stuff. Let me tell you how selfishness started in my life. My mom and dad lied to me and told me that there was a Santa Claus.
Ooh, that's it.
So when my mom and dad decided to lie to tell me that there was a Santa Claus, so, and a lot of people say, how in the world can this be an issue? Well, it is, because that was the first lie that I had to personally get over that really, really hurt me. I'm in elementary school. I said my first cuss words fighting with somebody because they said Santa Claus wasn't real. So what I'm saying is, if somebody said, man, that joke is off his rocker, I'm saying that to say that damage, I almost got to fighting, and I started literally using words against somebody else because I'm thinking that I'm the subject matter expert because my birthday on Christmas, and I'm cussing them out. So we have to understand, and I say that to hit this next topic, when you learn love wrong, you're going to experience it and you're going to issue it in the same manner, unless something happens in your life to interact, to show you a correct love. A lot of people don't like to hear about Satan. We think that Satan doesn't exist. But if Satan can stop people that say they're Christian from demonstrating love beyond what Janet Jackson's song, What Have You Done For Me Lately, what happens is there's nothing that can be left but selfishness. Selfishness actually is the byproduct of a lack of love.
Mm.
Let me say that again.
Yes,
selfishness
yes.
is a byproduct of a lack of love. You can love your kids, your boyfriend, your girlfriend to the best of your ability, but the problem is sometimes we still charge them with making us happy because that's what we've seen all our life.
Right.
So
right.
I think that selfishness and not knowing love correctly goes hand in hand. Why do I say that? When you get into 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 4, and you start seeing what God says love is, most of the time we fall short after maybe the first one or two verbs that's in that particular scripture. So I just want to real quickly say that I think that when we say love unconditionally, we need to know what that is. We need to be able to not just define it and quote it, but we need to be able to chew it. Most of all, we need to be able to experience it, and we experience it by giving to others in that process. And when you learn to give for people because it's right, not because of what you're going to get, then I think we start to get on that part where we start saying, hey, you know what, maybe I am starting to know a little something. But that's pretty much it. So, again, I wanted to surprise y'all. I wanted to say congratulations to Doc, and I wanted to just throw a couple of 2 cents in. Oh, the last thing I wanted to say was this. Holly, you said something very key about your job and your layoff. Interestingly enough, when you put God in the right position, he removed you from the bondage of the job to now the freedom of your purpose. I hope that makes
sense. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, y'all have a great night.
Agree.
Y'all have a great night. I'm going to continue to listen and take notes and all that kind of good stuff. And
thank
I will
you so much.
Talk to you all later.
Well,
thank you so much, Dwayne. Thank you. What a pleasant surprise. And I think, Allie, you would agree to me. We're going to crown Dwayne our on-air pastor. So please continue to surprise us and indulge us with your wisdom. Wisdom is much appreciated. Thank you so much.
It sure is. He made a lot of valid points and key statements in talking about that unconditional love, because a lot of people really don't know what that is, and that goes back to the statement that I made about, you know, we give love the way that we receive it, you know, and instead of looking at how the other person might need it. Before we move any further, Melinda, do we have any more callers on the line?
Yes, we do. We have another caller that's been waiting patiently, so I'm going to bring him on air right now.
Great. And welcome to Derek's Life After Layoff.
And this is caller Dexter.
Hi, Ellie and Doc. How are you tonight?
Just fine. Welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to comment on what was said, and I do agree with the previous callers concerning love and unconditional love. I wanted to just touch on what I have learned over the years working for corporate America. I'm actually in the medical field, and initially, before I believe my relationship with the Lord was enhanced through him, by him, what I was going to work for was for myself. So selfishness was all wrapped up in that. And I wanted to get a paycheck. I wanted to have fun, go out to the club, party and all that. But what I've learned is that, you know, God is in control. You know, he is the Lord. And saying certain things like, you know, Lord and Savior, things like that, you know, the Lord will remind you or remind me. He reminded me several times that, yeah, that's who I am, and I'm going to show you who I am through your workplace. So what the workplace has become for me is a proving ground, not necessarily to go and to become discouraged or to go for a paycheck, but a place where I can be a witness for him.
That's good.
And also, thank you. And also, and I give him praise for that, because it's really, you know, his wisdom that's coming through me. But also, it's not just for me to be a witness, but for me to receive witness and to receive teaching from others. There are certain things that we can learn, that I have learned, that people do that are good, and certain things that I've learned that people do that are bad, including myself. I can apply that same principle to family.
Right.
I can apply that to what I see, you know, my wife and I have a son, and what I see him doing that may seem selfish to me and I correct him for that, or my wife corrects him for that, well, I see the same thing that he's doing. I did that before,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's like the Lord is showing me, you know, well, these are things that you need to correct. These are things that you need to get before me and pray about. You know, these are things that you need to begin to practice. I
right.
think that the selfishness piece for myself, it's a process. Letting go of that selfishness is a process. It's something
mm-hmm.
where as I mature and as I see these things in myself, as the Lord is showing me these things, well, now I can say, okay, you know, I really don't like that, you know, and I see what you're talking about. Can you help me, Lord God, to take this out of me, to make me a better person? There's certain
mm.
qualities in my son that I adore and that I really, really like, and the same thing with my wife, and they have a certain unselfishness in certain things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would like those qualities in my life. There's certain people that are mentors, you know, in my life, and certain people who may not be, but they have like certain qualities
right.
where there is not selfishness in what they do.
Right.
So that's pretty much what I wanted to say tonight.
You know, thank you so much, Dexter, for calling in, because you really hit the nail on the head with regards to how I felt towards the end of my time in my workplace. I felt like God was working on me to be a witness in the
mm.
workplace for those people who, you know, it seemed that they would come to me to vent and get some kind of calmness about the situation, and I was kind of like the rational person. Or when they just, you know, wanted to feel, I guess, a little bit of peace. And I saw that after I finally realized what his power was and what he was doing through me, I had to, you know, start being that person in my workplace as well. So that was very key in what you shared. So thank you for bringing that point out, and thank you for calling in tonight and sharing your comment.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much.
Now, as we move forward, do we want to take a short station break, or do we want to continue with our conversation, Melinda?
I think in light of the time, you might want to go ahead and just continue on. And,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Ellie,
yes.
No, I was going to say, I think we are close. You know, tonight, time really, really flew past us. But I want to say this. I think tonight is the first. We've had all male callers. So, ladies,
yes.
This is a call out for all the ladies. Don't let our men outdo us. So, please, next week, call in. We so appreciate it. Usually men they step back and listen to what the women have to say. So we so appreciate our men stepping forward and making calls today, calls today. I think it's time for the practical solutions. And before I get started with that, as we were talking about selfishness, it was interesting. I found some information. And there is a theory that's called altruism. And what it states is that a man has no right to exist of his or her own sake, that service to others is the only justification of his existence, and that self-sacrifice is the highest moral duty, virtue, and value. And as you stated before, this whole topic stemmed from our interview with Dr. C.T. Vivian, and I think him and the others that fought for our civil rights, they possess true altruism. And the funny thing about that, many evolutionist theorists, they basically have fought against the altruism theory for so long because they felt that when you sacrifice for others, then it doesn't allow people or things to evolve. So that's been a very interesting topic. And I want to say this, first and foremost, God made the greatest sacrifice by giving his only begotten son that we may be saved and have eternal life. So when we talk about selflessness and true altruism. We can look at God for an example.
Right.
With our practical
exactly.
solutions, when you sacrifice, you don't lose, you gain. This is the law of reciprocity and what the Bible states as you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
Often when people think about the word giving, they equate it to money or materialistic things. However, sacrifice can be done in a variety of ways, such as giving of your time and or talent. The word selfishness generally has a negative connotation. However, when it's put in the proper perspective, it is not a negative word at all. If we are using it to ensure that we make adequate time for ourselves. For those who do more for others than themselves, you may need to sacrifice by carving out time for yourself. Sometimes it's important to be more selfish for ourselves. This is called balance.
Right.
You don't want to give so much to others that you are depleted and have not deposited back into yourself. And whatever we do for others, do it without expecting anything in return. And more importantly, do it in love. Our scripture tonight, I'm going to start with Pastor Dwayne touched on our first scripture. I'm going to jump into, he was starting with verse 4, where it talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. It talks about what love is. I'm going to jump down to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Love does not dishonor. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Our second scripture is Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the word of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Wow. That's great. That's some good points. And you know what? Thank you so much for your practical solutions. As I mentioned before, I love those, and I also love the scripture because it's always nice to have a point of reference in which to be able to study what God is saying about the topics that we're discussing and that we're dealing with on our show. So thank you for that, Doc. One thing that before we get ready to close out tonight that I didn't get a chance to mention earlier, a lot of people probably have not given this a lot of thought, but who was the first being to show selfishness? Lucifer. So when we go back and you think about this, the root of selfishness goes way back when Lucifer decided that he was going to proclaim himself and he's going to exalt himself above God.
Yes.
Well, we all know, if you know that story, we know what happened. What happened? God brought him down. God humbled him. So in that, I say, you know, through that, I learned that when you don't humble yourself, God will be obligated to do it for you. And the lack of humbleness in our lives, oftentimes, guess what? It leads to our disobedience. And so, you know, and when we strive to keep our flesh happy instead of being content, then we start, what we start to do is live the low life. The high life is being content and happy, and that's what God wants for us.
That's
and
good.
A lot of us don't know how to do that. So I just wanted to bring that point out. And, you know, I start with myself with all of this, and I had to realize that, you know, I was seeking the wrong things and trying to make myself happy. And in an earlier show, I mentioned that it led me into an emotionally abusive relationship. So when you go for that momentary moment, you know, of joy or what feels good at the moment, it oftentimes is not what God wants for us, and it leads into a place where God is at the end going to humble us to be obedient to his word. So as we, does that make sense? And, you know, I really had to to think about that, that selfishness really is rooted way back in the body of Christ. Now, I wanted to, as we get ready to close out tonight, please remember to mark your calendars for our Atlanta Life Radio book club discussion, which is scheduled, once again, I stated earlier in the show that it's scheduled for Tuesday, March 26th, and we are reading The Shack by William Young, and it is definitely not too late to sign up through the Atlanta Life Radio website, which is at www.atlantaliferadio.com. The Shack can be purchased through Amazon.com or through HALF.com, which is HALF.com, or in any of your local bookstores. And as I mentioned, there is an audiobook version of this so that you can listen to it. So it's not too late to join. And I'm just about finished with reading the book. So, and it has blessed me once again for the – yes, this book is so good. And we remind you that if you like what you hear, please visit our website and listen to the recordings of the past shows, and post a comment. If you're on Facebook, you can friend us at Atlanta Life Radio. Make sure that you plan to tune in next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Atlanta Life Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com, when we will continue our discussion. And also, please tweet me, and if you just don't want to be live on air, you can tweet me a question or a comment or a concern, and we'll do our best to address that concern or that comment online. And you can find me on Twitter at AllieWard45. And as always, as we close out our show, I'm Allie, and on behalf of myself and my co-host, Doc, we sincerely thank you for, first of all, listening, for joining us each week. And we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember that there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night. Always brings you
through. No need for complaining. Just look at this. It's just training to be ready. What God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord. I have my faith in. When your breakthrough will begin, failure. Testimony. alone, it's come from you alone.
No, you're
like this. Yes, with the testimony, testimony. God, can you?